All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the September 15th version of Public Works Advisory Board. We'll do the call to order, and please note that all members are present. And next, we'll have a moment of silence. Okay. Item number three on the agenda is the acceptance of last meeting's agenda. Everybody have a chance to look at it? Would someone like to? We have a motion to accept. Do we have a second?
Second.
So moved. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. In terms of announcements, we don't have any written announcements. Would any board members like to make an announcement? All right. Moving on from, although we on the agenda tonight, we're going to be talking about Dial-A-Ride. We're going to have a chance for public comment during that time. Would anybody else like to make public comments about some other matter? All right. Here we go.
I'm a little too loud.
Okay, there you go.
Hi, I'm Neil Farrell. I'm the president of the Morro Bay Public Art Foundation. I'm here to introduce you guys to a project that we're working on. It's kind of transit related. We're calling it the Bus Stop Mural Project. And what we're going to do is he's going to show you some renderings that we have here. The old bus stop that's at City Park, that ugly blue thing, RTA was talking about replacing it for like $125,000. And I suggested that we turn it into a work of art through our Public Art Foundation. And they've agreed with what we want to do. And as you can see here, the top one is what's there now, and the bottom one is what we're proposing. See, what it's going to be is on the outside, it'll be like you're at the beach. And then on the inside, it'll be like you're underwater. And we've got that, and if you'll change it. There's a view of the outside. It's not real easy to see on this one. The prints are a little clear or a little light. But on the bottom is an ocean scene up to the beach. And it starts to rise. And as you go around the left-hand corner of the building, it'll continue up into the hills and stuff. It's kind of a tough thing to do on the outside because of those big windows. But RTA has agreed to partially fund this. And they're going to also replace the plexiglass that's in those windows. They're just solid plexiglass, but they're really yellow and they're ugly. So we're going to replace them probably with some obscure plexiglass. A little more light into. Can we change it again? And then this is another view of the inside. And it'll continue up. The thing is a pyramid shape at the top, and it's going to continue up with the kelp and the fish and stuff till you get to the top. The very top of the building is a sort of a pyramid-shaped, I guess you would call it a skylight. It needs to be cleaned really, really bad. So we're going to clean it, and it'll look like you're looking up through the water towards the sun. It's going to be really cool. We're taking donations for this. Morro Bay Public Art Foundation has a website. Just Google it because I can't remember the website offhand. But Morro Bay Public Art Foundation, it comes right up. You can see some of the other things that we've done. The city's public art policy doesn't require you guys to approve or disapprove or anything like that. We're just supposed to bring it to you and show you the renderings so that you know that we're not doing anything that some people might find objectionable, like, you know, mermaids with no tops on and things like that. Don't laugh. It's happened in Morro Bay before. But so anyway, I'm just here to introduce you to that. We're probably going to be on your next agenda, right, Janine? In October.
It'll be October 27th.
Yeah, and then we'll probably have the whole package together by then. We'll have to have it together by then. The artists are Jeff O'Dell, Dana Kim Hickson, and Ann Godsey are the three artists that are going to do it. Ann's got a lot of experience with murals. She's done over 100 of them. And Jeff's done a couple of the ones that are here in town. And it's going to be great. Look for the announcements in the Bay News. There's a chance for the memorial benches. These benches are really tore up, really, really bad. So we're going to take them apart, going to strip them, sand them, and then when we put them back up, they'll be painted so as to be part of the mural. Okay? And if you go back one, can you go back to the one on the outside there? Yeah, that one on your right hand. That bench is a metal bench, and it's kind of banged up. So I think we're going to replace it with wood. And it'll be done the same way, treated the same way with the outside there. So if you have any questions, I'll answer any questions you have. Pardon?
Start work on it?
Well, I was hoping to start work on October, 1st of October, but I didn't realize we had to actually be on your agenda. I was thinking we could just come here, make a presentation, y'all nod your heads, are okay, and then we just go. But we have to actually be on the agenda. So now we're shooting probably for November 1st, weather permitting. And we'll have to get an encroachment permit. We'll have to put up maybe a temporary shelter. I've got an easy up tent that I can put up for people to use for a bus stop. It shouldn't take long. I'm hoping it'll be done within a week.
And you have all the funding lined up? You mentioned partial.
No, we're working on it right now. We've got partial funding. Our organization has a few $1,000 that we're going to pay for the paint. RTA is going to help us pay the artists.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Moving on to the director's report. There's Mr. Leivik is here, and he's ready to field all queries.
Before we begin the director's report questions, I'd like to introduce Barry. You could come to the podium for a second. Introduce Barry Ranz. He's an associate engineer in the Public Services Department. He started about 2 weeks ago as a permanent employee. So just wanted to introduce Barry. He's a licensed registered engineer and also a LEED accredited professional. Is that
yes.
the correct? Okay. And his focus of work so far has been on our North Main bike lanes, our city bike plan, and the pavement management system. But we'll get involved on a little bit of everything.
All right. So I guess when we have those questions about the work list on pavement on roads around town, we're going to have you at the meetings, right?
All right.
Glad
to be here.
Okay.
Welcome.
Well, welcome. Going first through the director's report, would anybody like to – Jenny, would you like to go first if you have any questions?
Yes, I have a question. I understand that the street sidewalk, street tree, and storm maintenance is now with Recreation and Parks Department.
That's correct.
Could I just – for my own – maybe I should have called before and gotten this – private tutorial, but just what was the rationale behind that? Did I miss a meeting? And that's just kind of
it was.
How did that evolve?
That was through the budget process to form a consolidated maintenance division, and we had two employees in the streets division, one in vehicle maintenance. Recreation parks maintenance had many more employees, so it made more sense to shift the three employees over recreation parks than to move everybody else into public services. So they're working as work teams now. Allows them to work together and get a little bit larger projects done. For example, they're focusing on the Embarcadero right now, doing a lot of curb painting, replacing signs, cleaning up in general the Embarcadero, and with more of them working together, it goes a little bit quicker and more efficiently. That work does. And I received a report from Mike Wilcox, who's the maintenance superintendent overseeing that division, and their major emphasis of work has been overgrown vegetation removal from the creeks, patching potholes at the north end of town. They worked on that a deck at the south end of the Cloisters bike path, a deck that was falling apart. They removed that. And then, like I mentioned before, the repainting and sign replacement on the Embarcadero.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions? Bill, would you like to go? Do you have any questions for Ron? Richard?
No.
No? Jim?
No, other than maybe you could clarify something I heard, which may be a rumor, maybe not, but I heard that Caltrans isn't allowing any big bike events to go on the freeway through our town anymore, and they have to go on the side streets.
That
and
was
that would impact our what the route might be. And,
Chief Olivas and I met with Caltrans permits to discuss this issue, because when the San Luis Bike Club applied for their Caltrans and permit for the Lighthouse Century, they wanted them to get off at South Bay Boulevard, proceed through the city, and get back on again at Yerba Buena and use city streets for the Century ride.
So they didn't want them on the
Want them on the freeway, mainly because of the way potential conflict at the gore points on the on ramp and off ramps of those. So we worked out a alternative with Caltrans. So the route now is coming out of Cuesta, proceeding northbound. They'll get off the highway at South Bay Boulevard and get right back on, and there'll be CHP directing traffic at that intersection there. So they'll miss those gore points. They'll be in the ramp and then back up the ramp. Proceeding northbound, there's not a good way to take people off at Morro Bay Boulevard, although it might be interesting to have them circle the roundabout and get back on the freeway, but we didn't do that. They proceed to the Main Street off-ramp, get off the freeway, go up the weave lane, or cross the weave lane back to the shoulder bike lane area, and then will not get off at Main Street, but continue north to South Bay Boulevard, south to South Bay Boulevard, get off the highway at South Bay Boulevard ramp, and then get back on with CHP directing traffic at that intersection.
Traditionally, they've just stayed on the freeway, haven't they, for many years?
Yes.
So this is something
Brand new. This is something brand new. And it's statewide, from what Caltrans said. They're very concerned with bicycle vehicle conflicts on their freeways where they have ramp intersections because of those gore points. And weave lanes are another potential conflict where you have a lane that is for both exiting off the freeway and coming onto the freeway.
Yeah,
is a potential conflict area.
And there's still one of those left, it
sounded
like.
There's still one of those left because there's not a good way to take people off and put them back on at Main Street, because you can't really make that movement that well. There's limited sight distance there. So it was viewed as safer to keep people on the freeway. At those places where we're keeping people on the freeway through the on and off ramps, there'll be a police vehicle or a volunteer vehicle with its lights flashing, not to direct traffic, but to just alert people that something's going on there. And so you keep an eye out.
It sounds like there'll be a lot more city involvement.
Be a lot more city involvement and more cost to the bike club to put on the event, because they'll be paying both more city police officers and CHP officers for the traffic control.
Oh, so all that funding comes from the bike club?
All that funding comes from the bike club.
Let's hope it makes everybody safer.
Yes.
No further questions. I have a couple, Rob. Specifically, do you want to speak about water, or would you like to leave that to, since that's not quite your area?
I can attempt to answer questions about water.
The question is, state water is up, and how long are we going to be using, and the deliveries are up from state water. I see they're at 50%. How long after the summer will we use the desal plant?
We'll use it periodically to meet our peaks, and then we'll use it again during the state water shutdown, which typically occurs late October, November, for a couple week period where they do maintenance on the state water pipeline.
And I see we have restricted water water use still in effect, and state water deliveries are up. So are you guys foreseeing that we're just going to stay in this restricted area water supply?
Yes. Council chose not to reduce the conservation level when we had increased supplies. So we anticipate staying at this moderate water conservation measures until directed by council to do otherwise.
Okay. And then next question, I don't know if you want to speak to it or Barry, although he's only been on the job for a short period of time, is when we do the North Morro Bay bike lane, there is that one point in front of Del Mar on Main Street where the pavement, are we going to improve the pavement on part of the road before we put the bike lane there, like some of it's crumbling or it's...
Yes. That section, those areas that where we have pavement failures or you can see significant alligatoring along Main Street, those will be dug out, repaired before we do the overlay and then restripe on top of the overlay. That overlay, that drastic pavement repair section is basically from San Jacinto north to Yerba Buena. From San Jacinto south to Atascadero Road, Highway 41, that had been recently overlaid and does not need significant asphalt repair, although we're looking at perhaps doing a change order to do what is called microsurfacing. It's a heavy slurry seal there to basically give the asphalt some more life to it before you have to do significant repairs. The price for that seems to be fairly low, and while we're out there doing all this work, it would make sense to rejuvenate that section. That was not eligible for ERA funding, so that would have to come from local funding. So we're talking with the contractor about a change order to get a price to do that.
And the next question I have is about wastewater, specifically the main that goes from San Jacinto to Yerba Buena. Knowing that we had the failure last year where the road went in, are we going to check all of that? Have we checked all of that pipe from Yerba Buena south and make just to kind of limit any sort of failures in the future?
Well, there's a
public hearing to receive comments from citizens. So, Janine, would you like to present first before we go to public?
Yes, I'm just going to give a real quick kind of reminder history of how we got to here. Over the last three fiscal years, we've had various funding cuts from the state. We receive funding for transit from the state in the form of Transportation Development Act monies, or TDA, as we affectionately call it. And it's made up of two different types of sources of funding, Local Transportation Fund, LTF, or State Transit Assistance, STA. And between the downturn in the economy and the effect that that's had on the LTF, which is based on sales tax, and then the changes in the budget that the governor did in relation to STA, the city had lost over $170,000 in 2 years for transit funding, and we had an operating budget of about $380,000. So there was a huge loss of funding that's not going to be coming back real quickly. So when we were starting to put together numbers for this fiscal year's budget for operations, we realized we were going to be having something more of $133,000, $135,000 shortage in funding to operate the existing dial-a-ride services at that time. So we started to look at what could we do with the funds that we would be receiving from the state to provide some type of dial-a-ride service. Could we cut back? Could we go to just one vehicle per day instead of two? Would we have to eliminate a day of service or cut back in the morning or the evening? And ultimately what came up with the numbers is that we could operate dial-a-ride with one vehicle one day a week for 5 hours. And even with that, we wouldn't be reaching the fare box ratio requirement that the state mandates in order to continue to get certain transit funding. So it just wasn't a workable solution. So then we started to look at what type of transit service could we provide for the funding that we're getting, trying to encompass as many of the riders that we currently had in Dial Ride, where they were going, where they were coming from, where they were going to. And ultimately what was developed was a deviated fixed route or a flex fixed route, where it's basically a hybrid of fixed route and a demand response type of service. You have a fixed route that's basically your spine, and then the fixed route can flex off the route in all the way along to do curb-to-curb pickups. So that's what the council had approved, and that started on July 1. So that service has just been going for a couple of months. School started at the end of August, so really the first 2 months of data that we have are really kind of typical summer months. We haven't seen what effect the schools have had once they started. So what we wanted to do was kind of hear back from the public. I haven't heard any real phone calls. Susan Brown, the transit manager, the general manager for MV Transportation that oversees the day-to-day operations of the service, she does the scheduling and takes the calls at the transit office. And a lot of the calls that have been coming in had been for information, looking for information, or they'd gotten a brochure and they wanted to know how to utilize or access the service. And other than that, we hadn't been really hearing if there were any major hitches with the service, whether it was timing issues, scheduling, stops, the route, that sort of thing. So we wanted to have a public hearing to hear from the users if there was any issues that they were having, positive or negative, and if there were some tweaks that we needed to make to the service, try to make those adjustments early on rather than wait until we have our triennial performance audit 3 years down the road and have the residents and the community have a service that wasn't quite functioning right. So that was the purpose of having the public hearing today. And whatever comments we receive from the public, whatever comments that the board has, all that will be forwarded on to the City Council. And then if anything needs to be done on a staff level to bring something back, we would do so at that point. What I'd like to do right now is turn it over to Susan Brown. She wants to do a quick presentation on how does Morro Bay Transit work. And then after that, we'd ask that you open to the public for public hearing and receive comments.
I'd like to ask a question, Jenny.
All right, sure. Well, first, before that, would you mind if we ask? Go ahead.
Excuse me, I just had one quick question for Janine. How is this working fiscally? You've tried it out for a couple months now. Will this bring us into alignment if we continue the program that we've been using for the last few months?
Even split, we had about 52% regular riders and 48% discount riders, which are your senior or your disabled users. And there's different fare structures for those. And the discount category tended to buy more of the punch passes than pay cash, and the regular riders tended to pay more cash. So in the first couple of months, what we're seeing is there's been a shift in that there's a lot more discount users for the service. And we don't know if part of that's because school, it was still summertime, school was not in session, and so we would see some of those riders, the regular riders, come back with this when school started. There's also, because of the funding situation, we end about a half an hour earlier than we had under Dial Ride, so that kind of that 5 o'clock run from San Luis on the regional system comes in after we stop service at 5:30. So there are some people that are in the evening commute that we used to pick up with the Dial-A-Ride service that we're now kind of missing. So that may also be an impact. And it's something that as people are starting to use it more, as they're still getting some information, some people are kind of tentative. In the next few months, once they start to get on board, start to use it, we'll have a better idea, you know, those numbers may change from where they are now.
Thank you.
With that, Susan, it's all you.
Thank you. Susan Brown, manager at Morro Bay Transit. And so my presentation today is Morro Bay Transit, how does it work? This is a picture of a sign Janine has an actual sign with her today, and these are the transit stop signs that have gone up at the stops. Morbay Transit is fixed route and call arrive, and the days and hours of operation are Monday through Friday from 6:40 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And these are the fixed route stops throughout the city. See, starting at Main Street at Spencer's Market at the front door is stop one. That's it. It begins at 6:40 in the morning, and then it goes 15 different stops throughout town. It's recommended that you catch the fixed route bus at the designated bus stops, but you may board or leave the bus at any point along the route where the driver can make a safe stop. And the way to get on is stand at the curb and wave, and then the driver pulls over. And the way to get off is just, it's a small bus. You can tell the driver, this is where I want to disembark. This is right from our brochure, and it's the map of where the trolley does, where the bus makes its routes. It starts at, comes out of the city yard in the morning, and it goes to Spencer's up north up Main Street at 40 minutes after the hour, so 6:40 to start. And then it comes out onto Elena Street, turns right, and passes 456 Elena, where a lot of seniors live, and it can stop there. And then it turns left on Greenwood Street, left again on San Jacinto, and then right again back onto Main Street. At Sequoia, there's a stop, and that's the street that Del Mar School's on, Sequoia and Main. It travels on up Main to Jamaica, there's a stop, and it's Tahiti Street. And there's these signs are at all the stops. Then it crosses at Yerba Buena across the freeway to Beachcomber Street. And at Beachcomber, you turn to the left, and it stops at Mindoro Way. At that spot, there's a staircase to the campground so the campers can ride. Then it continues on Beachcomber, and it jogs around Java and goes across Sandalwood Street heading south. And there's a stop at Sandalwood and San Jacinto with a bench. It turns to the left at San Jacinto, and along there is where people that live in the cloisters can get on and do. And then it turns to the south onto the freeway. And there's a stop on the freeway that people use. It takes the freeway south towards town and gets off of the freeway at Highway 41. At Highway 41, it goes to the high school teen center. There's a stop out front. It's there at the hour. I didn't mention that at Beachcomber, it's at 50 minutes. So there's various times along the way. You can see that there's... if you were on the bus, you'd see that between 40 minutes and 50 minutes, that's not really doesn't take 10 minutes. There's time built into there if someone calls for a ride so they can flex.
Susan, could I interrupt real quick? Do you mean on the right when they leave Spencer's and go up to Greenwood? Since Greenwood's a dead end, do they go up to Hemlock?
No, they don't go as far as the dead end. They turn on San Jacinto. They turn to the left and go back down to Main Street.
So okay, so they go up to the and then they just make a U-turn right there, and
they take Greenwood to San Jacinto and turn to the left.
No, I am.
Right here,
Albertsons, and then it goes through back on Quintana to the right, around the roundabout, down Morro Bay Boulevard, and around Shasta. Then it comes up to City Park, where it's there at 10 minutes after every hour. It's there in time to catch the bus that goes to Los Osos. After it leaves the park, it goes down Morro Bay Boulevard again and turns to the left on Piney Way. So it travels across Piney Way. There's a stop sign like this at Anchor. Then it follows Piney Way to Main, and it turns right onto Main Street and follows Main Street again across, heading north again, till it gets to Harbor. At Harbor Street, it turns to the right and goes to Market. And at Market and Morro Bay Boulevard, it's left on Market. At Market, Morro Bay Boulevard is Dorns. There's a stop. That's the top of the Centennial Staircase. Then it turns to the right up Morro Bay Boulevard, follows it back all the way up to the park. And it's there. It leaves the park again at 30 minutes after the hour. Again, built into that time, that's excess time. It's built in so that they can flex off and pick up people who might want to go any place along that route in the Colorado service. And so after that, it leaves the park one more time at 30 minutes after the hour and goes around Piney Way and then down Harbor Street, passing the library, the City Hall, Morro Bay Transit, and it goes past close to the post office, gets to Main Street and turns to the right, and then it goes north again. So at that time, it's going to pass the Arrow Stop and Bonita, which is Domino's, and back to Spencer's. That's 1 hour. That's one full hour. There's quite a bit of leeway in there for the caller rides. There's pretty much enough for two rides within every 15 minutes, two flexes off of it. For caller ride, you'd call 772-2744, and it's a curb-to-curb service. It's available for students K through 12, seniors, and disabled individuals. The fixed route bus will then flex off up to 3/4 of a mile to pick up and drop off the rider, and then it returns en route before the next scheduled stop. So a person has to be ready when the bus arrives by being out of the curb at their scheduled time. How to schedule a call a ride trip? You call 772-2744 between the hours of 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Monday through Friday to schedule a ride for the next day. Monday trips will need to be scheduled on the Friday before. I should add to that, going back a minute, we're not completely booked up at this time all through for the next day. So when people call on the day of and say, I forgot, I now have something I need to do, we have been able to fit everyone in. We haven't yet had to deny anybody rides. We're not that busy. So people can feel free to attempt that. The transit connections, the fixed route connects with the RTA bus at the Route 12 at City Park. Bikes are allowed. There's spaces first come, first served for bicycles. Two can fit. Passengers are responsible for loading and unloading the bike from the rack. Bus is accessible for anyone using a standard size mobility device, and there's a lift on the bus. If anyone needs to stand on it, they can. Fare information. The fare is on a per-ride basis. A fixed route costs $1.25 per ride for regular fare. Discount fare is 60 cents per ride. And a call a ride is $2.50. And the discount fare is for seniors 65 and over and also for disabled individuals. Children can ride free under 5 years old with a fare-paying adult. They can take two children. The riders can buy passes on board. The day pass is a hand stamp. It's $4 for all day. And the discounted hand stamp is $2. Unlimited rides all day on it. The punch pass that they sell is 11-ride punch pass. It's $12.50 for a fixed route regular. And the discount fare is $6. A call-a-ride punch pass is $25. That's for 11 rides. And the fixed route accepts RTA regional one-day passes and 31-day passes. The Morro Bay Transit brochure is on the Morro Bay City website. For information or questions or scheduling a call-a-ride trip, you can call 772-2744, 8 to 10, Monday through Friday. Here's our drivers, Tina, Steve, friendly drivers. Also, Leroy and Camille, also friendly drivers, and me, Susan. I answer the...
But that's limited to those individuals, or is that not true?
It is. It's limited to those.
Okay, whereas I remember in a previous, like the meeting that you came to with us before, we talked about the Flex program. I thought Flex rides where you kind of can call and say, can you pick me up? I'm up here on Nutmeg. And you can deviate off the fixed route was not limited to seniors disabled in K through 12.
Well, maybe that's a question for Janine.
I was going to say the fixed route is general public. The call a ride trips that flex off of the fixed route are ones that are for the students K through 12, seniors and disabled, and that was a decision made by the city council to limit it to that group. I think it was because at that time we didn't know how many call a rides we might be getting, and so their concern was that with dial a ride going away, for those who could not be ambulatory enough to do the fixed route and walk to a fixed route stop, they wanted to make sure that there was enough capacity available for them on the call a ride trips. It may get to a point where we have enough capacity available that we're taking care of those needs, and the council may want to consider opening up the call a ride trips that flex off the fixed route to all of the general public. But for right now, it's just the call a ride trips are just for the K through 12 senior and disabled individuals.
Okay, and they're the same thing as a flex ride.
Right. Now, if we say flex ride in here, I don't know if it's we're flexing off the fixed route or we say flex ride. I was wanting to be pretty consistent with
it's not
having to be call a ride.
Yeah,
so
it's not written anywhere. It's just
okay.
In the common parlance, it's
okay.
Being called flex ride, and I want to make sure that that's the same. It's the same thing as call a ride.
If they're talking about the flex ride, they're talking about the call a ride. It's the fixed. It's a deviated fixed route is what in transit industry is what this is called, or a flex fixed route, and that's what the council was originally looking at was that term. And so once they approved the concept of the deviated fixed route, the flex fixed route, once we were putting it into the brochure and how are we terming it and how is the public going to know what is the fixed route, what is the call a ride route, that's where we came up with the call a ride.
Okay. Works for me. It's fine. And then my second question is, the trolley path on the weekends, is that the same as the fixed route or is that...
No, it's not the same. There's another map for that. It follows it pretty closely. It's following the north route pretty closely, but it isn't the same. The trolley does go north up Main, and instead of going through the neighborhood, it comes down the freeway. So it tracks it fairly closely, but we have three routes.
Right.
There's another one going south, and it isn't the same now.
Okay.
Does the trolley go all the way to the State Museum, though?
Yeah, the trolley goes into the, not the museum, but the state park campground.
Uh-huh.
And it actually goes into the campground, the kiosk, and then the north one goes into the campground.
Are there brochures outlining that when that's available and what the routes are and everything?
The trolley does, yeah, there's brochures.
Just for the
all
trolley?
All around, all over. It's just for the trolley. Mm-hmm. It has a map that looks just about like that, but it maps out where the routes are. Of course, there's the one on the waterfront also. That's a third trolley. And it stays on the waterfront until it just makes a loop up to the transfer spot. That's Dorns. That's Morro Bay Boulevard and Market. So all three trolleys have a transfer spot there.
Will any of those trolleys be operating Harbor Festival weekend, which is the first weekend of October? Is that the last weekend of operation
for the trolley? Yeah, that's the last weekend. Saturday and Sunday, regular hours for the Harbor Festival. Mm. Right.
Do we have any, Bill? Do you have any questions? Richard?
No.
Janine, is Susan aware of this letter from Harley Knott?
Yes, she's actually the one who brought me the letter that was addressed to me. And so she does have a copy of that.
Okay, no, I just wanted to say we do have a letter from Morro Bay citizen Harley Knott outlining her concerns about the call a ride and... So anyway, I just wanted to make sure we knew that. And so now, are we done with Susan's presentation? You want to open it up to public comments? All right. So everybody's done up here commenting. Do we have anybody out there in the audience who would like to comment about this? Please state your name.
My name is Pauline Stansbury.
3 minutes limit, please.
My name is Pauline Stansbury. I live in Morro Bay. I am the president of the Morro Bay Seniors. We have had quite a few calls wanting to know. Our seniors have been dropped through the whole... Is this up?
Yes.
They've just been left out in space. They just have no way to go out, flag down a bus, and it's just not on scheduled times. My whole office and board, we have been trying to find a way, like friendly drivers.
Thank you for hosting this hearing tonight and for your work on the Public Works Advisory Board and for staff and AGP for putting together this special time. I did want to start by mentioning Ms. Stanbury mentioned her Friendly Riders program for volunteer shuttles, and I think it's important for the phone number for the Senior Center to be put out there, and that's 772-4421. So if you're interested in perhaps catching a ride through the Volunteer Friendly Riders program or offering your support and volunteerism, go ahead and call the Senior Center at 772-4421. The other comment I had was I had the chance to talk with Janet Gould, the principal over at Del Mar Elementary today, and unfortunately she had some other commitments and wasn't able to set up time to be able to make this meeting, but she had some information that she asked me to relay to you. One was that she has not, and her office has not received any real complaints from the school program and the teachers and kids and families that had accessed the Dial-A-Ride program quite frequently during the last school year. So she was fairly surprised about that. She's heard some questions about what the new option is about. She asked that if we do proceed with another hearing or informational opportunity at the council level from here, that they be directly invited, and I promised to stay in touch with her about that, but that might be an important thing for us to do as a program, is to reach out to the school district. The other piece of information that she mentioned, as you discussed tonight, was that the key times for school starting is 8:30, and then key times for students being released is noon, 1:30, and 2:30, and they also at this point are just about to start their after-school program, which starts at 3:30. So she thinks that there may be people finding alternative modes of transit that used to use Dial-A-Ride, and she expects perhaps as the school year starts to settle in, which it just started recently, she might get some more feedback. The one out of those dates or times, seems like the challenge right now with the scheduling as far as approximately 45 minutes after the hour in the Del Mar Elementary vicinity. 8:30 presents a bit of a challenge at the start time as far as a drop-off. 3:30 as well for a drop-off, just a fair amount of layover between the drop-off date point and the start of school. And then also the 12 o'clock release for the kindergarten program presents about 45 minutes of wait time. So those were just some of her comments, and she was just interested to hear more and looks forward to staying in touch with this program. And I didn't have a chance to touch base with the high school, but I'd expect they would be also interested to hear about the option and more information about how they could get this to their students and families. So thanks again for your work.
I have a question. Is it an issue that the children have to walk down to Main Street now? Were they previously picked up at the school?
They were. As far as I understand, with the flex route, they with a call beforehand and a scheduled pickup, the route can be flexed to pick them up at the school. So she didn't bring that up, and she mentioned multiple times she understands the 3/4 mile flexed option. So I don't think that's as big of a challenge as the timing of the route.
Thank you, Noah. Ms. Brown.
One of our passengers would like to speak, and I just wanted to introduce him, Mr. Kleckner.
My name is Kleckner, Robert F. Kleckner, and I live at 255 Anchor Street here in Morro Bay. My wife and I have been here for about 40 years now. Been retired most of the time. And we are in a problem where there's a lot of people our age neither one of us can drive. We're both a little handicapped. And so we have to have a... neither one of us can drive anymore. It's same as a lot of people. So they've got to use the bus. And I'm very satisfied with the bus. They're real good, I'd say, in every way, and very courteous, and get you there on time and such as that. But the city seems to be against the bus. I don't know what if they advertise or let people advertise that.
Comment portion of that. Well, I guess you can. Sure. Go ahead.
Maybe Janine would know.
Sure.
No.
Janine, am I allowed to ask someone a question, like Mr. Kleckner, who just came up? Not really.
This group has always been very informal, so I think if it's up to the board, if that is something that you would desire to do, you can go ahead and do that.
I think we're fine with it.
What I'd like to know is if clients of the Dial-A-Ride, the former Dial-A-Ride, and like Mr. Kleckner, who just spoke, if the new fixed route is covering most of the needs that you find yourself needing a ride for, is it, or are there missings on that route, or anybody? Mr. Kleckner, we changed the route recently, and I'm wondering if the new route goes to the stops where you need the public transportation to go to.
I have no problem with that. It's just that I understood that they were going to slow down on all of it, and I just thought that was very... They can't slow down on too much more. They won't be doing anything. Don't have any bus. That's the only thing I'm concerned about.
But so far, it hasn't been a problem, the new schedule. Okay.
I think they've been very good.
Do you find it easy to call up ahead of time? Or is that a... Sir, could you come up to it and speak into the microphone?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't have time to call.
The time element there for 2 hours for... The city, the size of this town, is small, I would say. And if you want to call, 2 hours is not much of a time, I don't think, anyhow.
Can I ask you, do you have an email account? Do you email? Do you have internet?
We don't have any internet, no.
Okay, that was a thought I had. Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with not having it. Just wanted to know.
Okay. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you what it is because I've been retired for so many years. I don't. We never had it.
You're probably better off.
Probably
in some ways.
Excuse me.
Yes, I've had a lot of comments on that as the time window from 8 to 10. There's just nothing when a person gets a call at 8 o'clock or 8:30 or 9 from their doctor to say, you need to get down here for a blood test, or they forgot their appointments. But the window for answering their phone from 8 to 10 is not benefiting a lot of the public. That's one of the main things I have heard people say to me.
Yeah, that's why I asked about email. It seems that that might be a way for people to communicate their needs, not between a certain period of that. You know, if they think of it as they're falling asleep, you can go and send an email. But it's not in place. It was just one of my ideas as I was reading.
There's a lot of seniors that don't even know what email and a lot of that is, or even want one of those in their house, they say. And they wouldn't. It just takes away the time that they've got to get someplace in a hurry.
Right.
So right now, if we have, Susan, we have the window in the morning to call up. Have you filled in any questions about making that time, maybe having one time in the morning, one in the afternoon? I know time's not necessarily the best way, but if we don't have email and maybe forgetfulness comes into play, if they remember something after that morning time, would an afternoon time be feasible?
Not always, because the dispatcher, me, driving, by that time sometimes. So that's how we set up the 8 to 10, so there was a way to, that I could go out and do other duties after that. I would say, though, that even though we have a day before policy, people could call the day of and try to get a ride, and usually we'd fit them in if they called during those 2 hours.
And if I can also mention that the reason why it was a two-hour advance schedule window was because in the past when we had dial-a-ride service, you had an actual dispatcher that was there all for 11 and a quarter hours a day, Monday through Friday. And that's a fixed cost that regardless of how many hours you cut back of service or if you cut back to one vehicle, you still had that cost. And so that tipped everything over when we were looking at can we cut back an hour, can we cut back to one vehicle. And so really the only way that the deviated fixed route system that got implemented would work is if the project manager, the general manager, who has all her managerial duties, now does the dispatching function, which includes this ride scheduling, answering the questions from people who call, as well as...
As you get old, problems come up more frequently. And a problem that you have to deal with tomorrow can very easily come up after 10 a.m. In fact, most of the time it probably would. So we need some flexibility there, I think, in this system, and maybe leave the message on an answering machine or something. But there should be a way to leave a message for a pickup later than 10 a.m. You know?
Yeah, I also... Can I jump on top of that?
Well, before that, just the concern that we have is if somebody leaves a message for scheduling a ride and they're presuming I have this slot and for whatever reason that day that time was booked, that becomes a problem, and we don't want somebody to be, whether it's through an email if we did something like that, whether it's leaving a phone message or slipping a message under the door, that would be my concern, would be that somebody would be relying on that, and if we had already had a ride scheduled at that time, we couldn't do that. I do want to mention just real briefly, because there was Pauline with the Senior Center had mentioned Friendly Ride that they are starting up or trying to get going. In the city's brochure for Morro Bay Transit, we have on one side, we have additional transit services listed. These are things like the runabout service, which is operated by RTA. It's the ADA paratransit service for fixed routes. It's a requirement of federal law. They're the ADA provider for the city. So there are those who, if Morro Bay Transit doesn't quite work for them, they can't use the fixed route service, call a ride for whatever reason is not working for them. If they qualify to become a runabout user, that's a service that they, it's a door-to-door service that they can then qualify for and utilize. Also, Ride-On Transportation has a couple of different services. They have a medical shuttle that takes you, I believe it's for free, and it takes you to your medical trips. You need to be SenCal or Medi-Cal insurance because those are the insurances that pay for the trips, as well as a senior shuttle that they have that operates in the North Coast on Mondays and Wednesdays. And that's another door-to-door type service that's available. And in addition to the Friendly Ride that Pauline had mentioned, and we have that information and those phone numbers in the brochure. That's we have paper brochures that are at the transit office, the Chamber of Commerce. We have some at the Senior Center. They're at City Hall. If anybody would like some brought to their business, let Susan know. We'll bring them there. The information is also on the city website in the transit website page.
Has there been any input in terms of Friendly or the Friendly Ride at the Senior Center offering some sort of like in between folks who need a ride to coordinate with Dial-A-Ride?
Yes, I have a tablet up there that if somebody offers to be a rider, which the first day I got a name, she wanted to volunteer to be a rider. That afternoon I had a person call in and I gave her the number. But I found out insurance-wise, our drivers can't take money, or it's does something to their insurance. I'm not quite sure how that went. So we just told them if they want to make a donation, they can make it to the seniors afterwards or whatever. But yes, we've got, I think, three names on our list where people could call us and we can give them the name of one of the three. I would like to have it fixed where there's a person to do it on Monday, and each driver pick a day and have it that way, because it helps them better. And we have connected twice so far. But it's just getting out to where they just, the window is just too much for them to find out something and get, yeah.
Thank you.
Just one suggestion about the hours for calling in for the caller ride. It might be well to have, instead of 2 hour block of 8 to 10, I don't know, just a suggestion, maybe an 8 to 9 in the morning, or even earlier, 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning, and then one at the end of the day in case something comes up that day for the next day, like people are talking about. Just an idea, an hour in the morning and an hour at the end of the day. Seems to be how I go through my messages first thing in the morning and then at the end of the day.
All right, do we have any further comments up here? Folks, do we have anybody else who'd like to speak in the audience? No? Okay, Janine, will we go to item B? What is that, and what specifically do you need from us?
Item B is appointment of one of your advisory board members to a request for proposals review committee. The current agreement with MV Transportation for transit work would begin, because you would get the proposals, and what you would do is you go through and read them. We would make we would clarify if there's any questions that we have or information that we need clarified from those proposals, get that from the vendors at that point. And then if we need to, there's a couple of dates set aside for interviews if we need to do that. And then because of the timing, because the council's second November meeting is now canceled, we have to go to council on November 8th for award. And that is so that if we are changing to a different contractor, they need enough time to be able to transition. They need to do interviews with the drivers to see if they're going to be hired. If not, and they need more drivers, they have to go through a recruitment process and licensing and certification, and that takes at least 30 days to go through. So we want to give them as much time as possible. So what that means is that your next Public Works Advisory Board meeting is going to be pushed back a week to October 27th instead of what would have been your regular date, which would have been October 20th. So it would just be moved a week. Same time that you normally do, 6 o'clock in the evening, but it just would be a week later. And so that would be giving us enough time to do the reviews if we had to do interviews, and then bring a what we would be doing is bringing a recommendation to the board that night. Prior to that, you would have the bid specifications. You would have access to all the proposals we received. So you would have all that information ahead of the meeting that you could review. And then it would just be coming into the meeting with a recommendation from the review committee. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to the board for your appointment.
So the committee then would meet, looks like, twice. You'd get there the material.
We probably would have at least one meeting after we get the proposals to have a discussion if there's any questions or clarifications that we need to get. And then if we did interviews, that would be a second time. So a minimum of two.
And then the committee will get together on that second one. That's when you'd make your recommendation.
Correct. If we ended up needing to do interviews, then after the interviews were over, we'd have a score sheet, they'd get scored, and at that point we'd have a discussion of what the recommendation from the group is going to be, and then we would bring that to the Public Works Advisory Board.
Okay. All right. Is there anybody that would like to be on this committee?
We can't get anybody else. I'd do it, but I would suggest June is a highly competent person for it.
Well, thank you very much, Bill.
Wow.
But there is a possibility I'm going to be gone all of October. So I'm not committing to anything in October. But so, thank you anyway. Back in your court now.
That's it. All right, Bill, are you okay?
I'm stuck with it.
Jenny? No? Richard? No. Well, I don't want to say you're stuck with it, Bill, because it is important, but I'm glad you volunteered. So, Janine, you have Mr. Olson.
Thank you. I'm sorry? I'll give you a call. I'll give you an email. I know you have email. So, and one of the things that we did include in with the specifications, typically in the past, we always ask for physical paper copies. And because of the timing issue, in the past, we've had the proposals available at the Public Services Office for review by the various board members. And with the time-sensitive nature and the time crunch, what we ended up doing was putting in there that they also provide an electronic copy. So that way, we can email that to all of the board members so that you can be reviewing that along with the bid specifications ahead of the meeting, so that you would have all of that reviewed, and you probably would have formulated already in your mind who it is that you would be looking for recommending to the council. So then you would just be receiving the review committee's recommendation at the meeting.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for that. And that concludes new business. We go into old business. There is none. We go to future agenda items. Rob's not here, so I don't think. Janine, did you speak with Rob about future agenda items?
I did not. I don't know what has been planned for or what some of the staff has planned for the October. You definitely will be having the recommendation for the transit RFP. That will be on there. I don't know if Dylan Wade had something with regard to water or not. I'm thinking he might, with the state water shutdown occurring in November, that he may be bringing something to the board. But that will be firmed up after this meeting.
All right. Does anybody on the committee have any future agenda items you'd like to put on there? We have for a future agenda item. We let Rob know, and then we can have it on a future agenda. Seeing none? Okay, I guess we'll just leave it up to